Good morning. It's Thursday, March 28th, and this is the Daily Chirp Podcast. We're bringing you a closer look at one of our top stories and other important things on our community. Today, an 18-year-old is facing trial for a fatal incident that took place in Cochise County. But his mother says he's not the monster that public perception has labeled him to be. Before we begin, some Arizona trivia. Did you know that Sean Elliott is a retired pro basketball player who excelled as a small forward at the University of Arizona and in the NBA? He achieved numerous accolades, including two-time All-American, the 1989 John Wooden Award, and the Adolph Rupp Trophy. Elliott was the third overall pick in the 1989 NBA draft, named to the 1990 All-Rookie Second Team, became a two-time NBA All-Star, and won an NBA championship in 1999 with the San Antonio Spurs. They retired his number 32 jersey in 2005. Today's episode is brought to you in part by Benson Hospital. Benson Hospital now has three locations for primary care services. Let their compassionate providers care for your entire family. Your health starts here. Call to schedule an appointment today at 520-720-6551. Now our feature story. An 18-year-old named Felix Mendez is facing trial for a fatal incident that took place in Cochise County 2.5 years ago. But his mother, Lizbeth Valenzuela, asserts that Felix is not the monster that public perception has labeled him to be. She describes him as a slow learner who is easily influenced by others. Valenzuela explains that on the eve of the accident, Felix was with a group of teens she disapproved of. The following day, without her permission, Felix took her car and was involved in a high-speed crash that killed 65-year-old Wanda Sitoski. Sitoski was en route to a birthday dinner with her son when Mendez, driving significantly over the speed limit, ran a red light and collided with her vehicle, causing her immediate death. Facing a trial set for May, Mendez is charged with first-degree murder, among other counts. The prosecution considers him a danger to society and a flight risk, with some of the undocumented migrants he was transporting prepared to testify against him. Mendez had earlier rejected two plea deals which would have seen him serve a stipulated sentence of 24.5 years with eligibility for early release after serving 85% of the term. Lizbeth Valenzuela, expressing profound regret over the incident, wishes she could trade places with Sitoski. She also harbors a desire to reach out to Sitoski's daughter to express her sorrow, though she has been advised against it by Mendez's attorney due to potential impacts on the case. Mendez remains in jail with a bond set at $50,000, cash only. Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Prestige Family Living.
Hi, this is Dee Dee Rodriguez, the executive director here at Prestige Assisted Living. Did you know heart disease is the number one cause of death among older adults? But here at Prestige Assisted Living in Sierra Vista, we take the health and wellness of our residents to heart. We are offering a free guide on heart health for older adults on our website. Visit prestigecanhelp.com to download your free guide today. Again, that is prestigecanhelp.com.
Next, we're excited to share our weekly segment, Best of Preps, brought to you by our friends at Lawley Automotive.
Hi everyone, I'm Sean Lawley from the Lawley Automotive Group, and we've stocked up on inventory at all of our dealerships. If you've been thinking about a new car, we've got the deal for you on a new Buick, GMC, Chevrolet, Ford, Kia, Hyundai, Honda, Nissan, Chrysler, Dodge, Jeep, and Ram. You don't have to go to Tucson or Phoenix to buy a new vehicle. We're your hometown dealer since 1995. We'll beat the big city dealers in price, and our customer service is small town dealer friendly. Come into any one of the Lawley dealerships today or shop lawleycars.com and see why nobody beats a Lawley deal. Nobody.
Now, Best of Preps.
Welcome back, everyone, to your favorite segment inside the Daily Chirp Podcast. It is time once again for Game of the Week, where I get to sit down and chat with my friend, the Herald Review Media sports editor Bruce Wetton, about the best of preps all across Cochise County, high school, and college sports. And Bruce, I think I know where you're going to start today, but you are the busiest man in all of Cochise County sports, which is why we got you on the phone again today.
Jeff, what do the Arizona Wildcats and the Cochise College women's basketball team have in common? They are both in the Sweet 16.
Woo!
Cochise annihilated Chattanooga State on Tuesday. I was really concerned about this game.
Yeah, this is the one you talked about ahead of time, and this was the one that you thought they might have trouble with.
Chattanooga State was 31-1. They had won 21 in a row. This game was tied 2-2 early in the game, and next thing I know, it's 13-2 Cochise. 15-5 Cochise, 23-8, Cochise, at the end of the first quarter. Fortuna surpassed her 1,000-point mark in the first quarter when she scored 12 points. She needed 8 to reach the 1,000-mark plateau. And in the second quarter, she achieved another milestone when she pulled down her 700th rebound.
Unbelievable.
So they ended up beating 17-seeded Chattanooga State Community College out of Chattanooga, Tennessee on Tuesday by a score of 72-43, Jeff.
My goodness.
Oh, it was a joy to watch on television. ESPN even praised the Apaches, and they were saying that if they played the way they played on Tuesday, Hutchinson, who they played today on Wednesday in the next round of the Sweet 16, they better watch out because this Cochise team is there for a reason, and it shows.
So at the time that we're recording this, they will be playing later on today. So this will drop tomorrow. So we want everybody to stay tuned to Herald Review Media to see what the updates will be when it happens.
I will have an update on the internet. By the time this airs, the update should already be there. And the other nice thing about it is on Tuesday night, Eastern Arizona College played, and they too won.
Oh, that's fantastic.
EAC made the national tournament as a 20 seed, and they beat 13 seed Pearl River Community College out of Poplarville, Mississippi. Never even heard of that town. 56-45. So EAC's also in the Sweet 16, Jeff.
Is there a chance that...
No.
At what point could...
The championship, maybe.
Okay, so if it goes all the way to the end, they could meet each other again.
Yes. Eastern's going to play on Thursday. Now, they're going to play Collin College out of Allen, Texas on Thursday in the Sweet 16, whereas Cochise is playing on Wednesday against Hutchinson, Kansas, who's 33-0, 33 straight wins.
Wow.
Number one overall seed. But I tell you, man, I am so impressed and so proud of Missy Opat and her girls. I mean, this is the second year in a row she's gotten into the second round. And I spoke with her on the phone Tuesday after the game was over. And this team is determined to set that milestone for Cochise College women's basketball and get beyond the second round. And she said the same thing, that if they play on Wednesday the way they did on Tuesday, Hutch better watch out. So Fortuna finished the game on Tuesday with a game-high 23 points, 17 rebounds. Clara Gonzalez, 11 points. This game was so bizarre because I was watching it on television, keeping my notes, and then following on the computer with live stats through the NJCAA website. And I noticed the stats were always lagging behind. And then all of a sudden they stopped. And the game finished, and I knew the final score, and I knew what the television announcers had announced as far as point totals. But they were not being uploaded on the internet, so I couldn't make them official until they got posted. Well, come to find out, they had a technical glitch at halftime. And so I guess they had to go back to the old-fashioned way of doing a book or something. So when I talked to Misty, they had to go back and watch game film to see what they missed in the second half to add 2 point Cochise point totals. So it wasn't until about 6 p.m. Tuesday night we actually got the official point totals for the Apaches.
Wow, that's crazy.
But when you play the first game of the tournament, Jeff, you're going to have the hiccups, you're going to have the bumps in the road, and that's what happened, not to Cochise in particular, but it happened to Cochise from the site administrators. But to see Chattanooga come out and just be thoroughly, I mean, this was their worst defeat in 2 years, the announcers were saying.
Well, what was it? Did they just come out cold, or was Cochise just that hot?
I think it was just the combination of them being a little timid and just Cochise being very good, and they had no answer for Fortuna. She had 12 points at the 23 in the first quarter, Jeff. It was such a treat to watch Cochise. And then, like I said, I was thought, you know, because of the games on ESPN Plus, and I bought it last year and subscribed to it now because of a little pitcher in Wilcox named Hattie McCumber. When she went to Western Regionals, the games were televised on ESPN, so I was able to watch the games. So I was able to watch some of the other games yesterday while getting some work done for the Herald Review. And Eastern came on at 6 o'clock last night, and they got off to a slow start, but, man, they finished strong as well. And I have to say the announcers have been very complimentary of the Arizona Community College Athletic Conference, saying, boy, this region has got two teams in the Sweet 16. This tells you something about that region.
Great point. I'm glad they noticed that.
Jeff, we've been talking about we don't get the respect down here that we feel like we deserve at times from other people because, I mean, the ACCAC is a very tough competitive region. And I'm just hoping now that these girls, I'd love to see both teams get to the Elite Eight, if not the Final Four, and heck, the national championship for all that matters. But it's going to take a little bit of luck. It's going to take some consistent play. And I guess we'll find out Wednesday afternoon as to what's going to happen for the Cochise women and Thursday afternoon for the Eastern Arizona College women. So we have some exciting news on the rodeo front as well that I didn't have last week that I'll share with you this week, but they are also now making a national statement. But before we move on to the rodeo, I want to kind of back up here and back up to high school sports a little bit. Douglas High School hosted a softball tournament this past weekend in Douglas. It was called the Hilda Luna Invitational. There was 8 teams down here. There was Douglas, Tombstone, Rio Rico, Cholla, Nogales, Thatcher, St. David, and Valley Union. Well, to much to no surprise, Douglas won the tournament going 7-0. But the surprise was the second place team in the tournament who beat Nogales, who beat Cholla, who beat Rio Rico, and oh yeah, they beat Valley Union. Jeff, that team was Tombstone High School. They took second place. Their 3 losses in the tournament were all to Douglas. They lost to them in the pool play game of the very first game of the day, 3-1. They lost in the quarterfinals of the tournament, 7-3. And then they had to come back at 6 o'clock or 7 o'clock on Saturday night and play that night for the championship. And by that time, Tombstone was just worn out. I don't think they had anything left, and Douglas kind of laid a smacking on them 19-1. But for the first time in years, Tombstone softball left with hardware.
Well, good for them. That's amazing.
I am so stoked about this team. Unfortunately, they laid an egg against Bisbee on Tuesday, or Monday. I mean, they got beat 7-4, committing 7 errors. No correction on Tuesday, because on Monday, their little freshman pitcher named Bree Gross threw a one-hit shutout at Valley Union on Monday. We'll be talking more about it in just a second. But anyway, I had so much fun mingling with the Tombstone fans and the Douglas fans. The Tombstone fans, every time they got closer and closer to the championship game, they were having so much fun just being competitive. And I can't tell you how impressed I am with the job that Jim True has done with this team and the players, this freshman crop of players he's got. They are going to be, and even the Douglas coaches and Douglas players were really complimentary to him, so saying they're going to be a threat here in a couple of years. But just when they show some signs of maturity, they show some signs of immaturity, like what they did on Tuesday, committing 7 errors in the loss to Bisbee. So anyway, like I said, hats off to the Tombstone Yellow Jackets for coming in second to the Douglas Bulldogs at the Hilda Luna Invitational. Also on Friday, we had a very unique doubleheader in St. David that we had talked about last week, where the St. David Tigers hosted Baghdad and Mogollon in a doubleheader in St. David. Baghdad is the number one team in the state right now, number one 1A baseball team in the state, and they smacked St. David by a score 9-0, while St. David came back and beat Mogollon 10-7 in the afternoon game. Tigers are, you know, they're going right now, some busy things going on in the 1A, and they got a big matchup coming up with Valley Union here next week that we'll be talking about here later in the show. Remember last week how we were talking about DJ Elias being the number one pitcher in the state of Arizona for overall wins?
That's right. I've been bragging about that for a week.
I jinxed him.
Oh, no. What did you do, Bruce?
He got smacked at Tucson Tancredi last Wednesday. In 5 innings, he gave up 5 runs, 7 hits, 5 Ks, and 1 walk in a 13-3 loss to the Hawks. But we found out the Hawks are, as of yesterday, the number one 3A team in the state of Arizona.
Okay, so they're obviously a dominant team to begin with.
But I felt bad because once again, here I brag, and then this kid goes out and gets lit up. In that game, he had some 3 2/3 innings, and he didn't even finish the game. And then on Monday, Tombstone goes to Valley Union to play a non-conference game. And I think they're looking ahead to Bisbee on Tuesday because on Monday, they lost to Valley Union 8-4, who they had just beaten 14-4 back on March 1st for the field dedication at Tombstone High School.
Wow.
So that was 2 losses in a row. And then on Tuesday, Bisbee comes into Tombstone. Big 2A East Regional Showdown because Tombstone's number one in the conference. Bisbee's number 3 in the conference. What happens? Bryson Meyer throws a one-hit shutout at Tombstone.
Oh, man.
7-0. So the 2A East region has suddenly now got very interesting where Tombstone and Pima are still tied for first place, but only a half game up on Bisbee, who's lingering right behind in third place right now. And these teams still play each other one more time. But something's happened with Tombstone where the wheels have kind of fallen off the truck. And I'm hoping they can get it righted up real quick. But to see Timpson lose three in a row is very uncharacteristic of this team. But I got to applaud Bisbee. I mean, Bryson Meyer, seven innings, no runs, one hit, eight strikeouts, and four walks. And unfortunately, the losing pitcher on Tuesday, Jeff, DJ Elias again. So he's lost two in a row after I sung his praises. So I think I got to stop singing the praises to these kids. But I'm going to sing a praise anyway and hope for the best. Max Pitts, we talked about him a few weeks ago and his domination performance over Douglas. He threw a no-hitter on Tuesday at the Cholla Chargers.
Wait, the Buena High School pitcher threw a no-hitter.
Yep, no runs, no hits, five Ks, one walk, 70 pitches, and 50 of which were strikes in the 9-0 win over the Cholla Chargers Tuesday at Coppola Field at Buena High School. So, you know, Max, again, he's having an up-and-down season. He has his good days and he has his not-so-good days, and it was unfortunate we were not there on Tuesday to watch it, but we are going to be producing a story here shortly that'll make the web, and I have file art of Max that I'll be using with the story. So now he's got a no-hitter, he's got a one-hitter, and they're beginning conference play, actually this coming Monday when they go to Nogales, and so they're winding down the season. Now comes a playoff push. Buena's 9-9 overall, 2-1 in conference, and the Buena Colt softball team picked up a rare win on Tuesday. They beat Cholla by a score 20-1, snapping a three-game skid. So hats off to them. In the other world of sports, yes, we had mentioned earlier yesterday that Bisbee softball had beaten Tombstone 7-4 Tuesday at Tombstone, behind Tombstone's seven errors. But again, in talking with the Bisbee coach this morning, she said her team made the plays when it had to, and they were able to capitalize on Tombstone's miscues, which when teams take advantage of another team's mistakes, good things are going to happen. And that sounds like what Bisbee did yesterday.
Well, it's difficult to win a game when you make seven errors.
Exactly right. But we were laughing because we had talked about earlier how Valley Union had lost to Tombstone by a score of 20-0. Jeff, in that game, there was three total hits.
Wait, so it is all walks?
25 walks.
Oh, my gosh.
And that's just by Tombstone.
Oh, man.
Tombstone out-hit Valley 2-1. They took advantage of 25 walks from the Alfreda pitchers. Bria Gross that game threw a one-hit shutout. Each team reportedly had one error, and Gross gave up no walks and fanned nine.
Well, I mean, you can't hit the ball if it's not coming across the plate.
So 25 walks, man. Thank goodness we didn't go shoot that game. It would have been extremely boring to shoot, so to speak. But hats off to the Blue Devils. They were able to beat the Tombstone baseball team that day. And then they came back on Tuesday and beat Patagonia. So now they're on a roll with two straight wins. Other scores from Monday had Benson baseball beating Morenci by a score of 10-1. And that came on the heels of a Saturday win over Wilcox by a score of 9-2. So two straight wins for the Bobcats. Benson softball, unfortunately, has gone into a nosedive, so to speak. They lost to Wilcox last past Saturday by a score of 13-5, and then dropped to Morenci on Monday 13-3, so three straight losses to the Bobcat softball team. Wilcox baseball beat Santa Rita on Tuesday 16-3, snapping a two-game skid. And, oh, yeah, we can't forget about our Cochise baseball team. They've suddenly gotten hot, Jeff. They've won six in a row.
Whoa, that's fantastic.
They have beaten Phoenix College on Tuesday by a score of 7-2 and 4-3. And they're at home this weekend against Paradise Valley Community College, looking to extend their streak. And so they're actually climbing up in the conference race right now in the standings and on a good shot of making the postseason tournament. We debuted a story this past weekend in the Herald Review that I want to share with our listeners real fast. Linda Lou Lamb, my stringer out of Benson, informed me that we have another bike club in Cochise County who actually went and competed at their state competition this past weekend before last in Tucson. The Benson Bike Club is now a third bike club that we have in Cochise County, in addition to the Mountain Bike Club out of Buena and then the one from Tombstone. But ironically, they don't compete during the same seasons, and I did not know this. There's different seasons. Buena and Tombstone compete during the winter. Benson competes during the spring. So Benson High School's newest mountain bike club, they competed in their final race of the season at the National Interscholastic Cycling Association State Championships that were held at Old Tucson on Saturday, March 16th. Can you imagine having a bike race at Old Tucson?
That would be a blast.
I would have loved to have been the photographer there. Linda got some amazing shots of these cyclists passing through the in front of these old vintage buildings. Come to find out and reading her story, the sport at Benson High School began finding this place in the fall of 2022 when Benson Superintendent Micah Mortensen heard the community and school's interest about having a mountain bike club. So he put the wheels in motion. He hired a coach named Nick Dallaportas, who's an avid mountain biker, and they started the mountain bike club. And this past weekend, they took the team to Tucson, where several Bobcats placed in the state championships. In the boys' JV1 category, senior Victor Dallaportas was sixth. Sophomore Deegan Pittenger was ninth. So I'm pretty sure I mispronounced that name, and I'm sorry about that. In the boys' JV2 race, sophomore Enzo Dallaportas placed 17th. Senior Nathan Miles was 19th. Sophomore Ben Bladelock was 21st. Solomon Crowley placed 8th in the freshman boys' race. In the JV2 girls category, Selena Yaki, she medaled in 3rd place. And senior Paris Crowley finished 7th. Oh, and then Violet Clough, a name that we recognize, Coach Clough's daughter, she placed 7th in the freshman girls' race. And as the boys combined boys and girls Division II team, Benson finished 5th out of 16 teams. So up-and-coming sport in the world of cycling there, which I guess mountain biking is now becoming very popular, which makes sense considering we have the great weather down here. And it's got to be so cool to ride these trails. But I'll tell you this, man, I mean, these are not just, you know, 4 or 5 laps. I mean, yeah, they're 4 or 5 laps, but they're 4 or 5 5-mile laps. So you're riding 20, 25 miles on a mountain bike.
Yeah, that is hardcore.
They're sweating profusely. They got their snacks in their shirts. They got their water bottles, and people are spraying water on them as they come through. So it's a sport that I used to do recreationally, and I no longer do. But seeing these kids and their effort on these courses, I mean, just watching Buena and Tombstone at Ren Arena this past season was a treat. But gosh, man, I mean, to watch these kids at Old Tucson, that had to be something spectacular, watching them right through the areas of Old Tucson. So we have some state rankings that were actually released. We're finally now getting state rankings. In the world of 5A baseball, we have 47 teams. Catalina Foothills is ranked number 1. Vail Cienega, who's in Buena's region, is number 2. Scottsdale Horizon, number 3. Buena is currently 22nd. And again, top 24 will get in with 9-24 in a play-in game for state, with the top 8 seeds getting first-round buys. In 4A baseball, there you have 49 teams. Estrella Foothills, number 1. Scottsdale Saguaro, number 2. Canyon Del Oro, number 3. Douglas is 13th. Douglas is on a roll right now in baseball. And they actually have a very big game today, the day of the show, at Rio Rico. And so this will be a key 4A Gila region showdown between these two schools. 2A baseball, 39 teams. As we had mentioned, that Bisbee had beaten Tombstone on Tuesday by a score of 7-0. At that time, Tombstone had been the number 1 team in the state. The new state rankings were going to be announced shortly afternoon on Wednesday, and I'm pretty sure Tombstone's going to drop from 1-2, which means if that happens, Arizona Lutheran, who's currently number 2, will become the soon number 1. Scottsdale Horizon Honors will become number 3. So I suspect, in my opinion, that Tombstone's going to drop from probably 1-3 or 4. Emo was number 7 as of Tuesday, Bisbee 9, Benson 11, Morenci 12, and Wilcox 15. So, Jeff, in the 2A state play-ins for state, there's a chance that they were held today. Tombstone, Pima, Bisbee, Benson, Morenci, and Wilcox, all out of the 2A East region, would make the state tournament.
That's unbelievable.
That tells you, again, the strength of this region.
Yeah, absolutely.
I mean, to have 6 teams out of 7 have a chance to qualify for the 16th state tournament, and, again, all 6 are in the top 15. So one or two would probably get first-round buys, which would probably be Bisbee and Tombstone, and the others would play play-in games. But still, that's a hats off to the region there because, you know, I keep saying we got competitive sports down here between the women, the college team, and now with the state baseball rankings, it's showing that. In 1A, 32 teams, Baghdad number 1, no surprise, Desert Christian number 2, Williams number 3, and this next sequence is interesting because you got Battle Union is 8 and St. David 9. and those two teams go head-to-head next week in St. David, that's going to be a good ball game now, because St. David has a little pitcher named Dylan Mitchell. We wrote about him a few weeks ago. He was the winning pitcher against Tombstone. He's a junior. He's coming into his own, and he's starting to shine. St. David's not as strong as it should be, but I'm anticipating that in that 1A showdown in St. David, we're going to see Owen Judd versus Dylan Mitchell, and that'll be a very interesting, intriguing pitching matchup. We all know how Owen Judd is pitching.
Oh, yeah.
So in 5A softball here, real fast, 47 teams, Desert Mountain number one, Scottsdale Chaparral number two, Williamsfield number three. Buena has some serious work to do to get in. They're currently ranked 29th. 4A softball, 49 teams, East Park number one, South Point number two, Arcadia number three, Douglas number 17. So Douglas would be in, playing a play-in game, should it be held today. 2A softball, 39 teams. Morenci, believe it or not, they're the number one softball team in the state of Arizona. Scottsdale Horizon Honors number two, Heritage Academy Levine number three, Wilcox number nine, Benson 10, Tombstone 11, and Bisbee is not ranked, and they are not eligible for postseason this year after that fiasco last year with the state tournament where they did not play and they had forfeited their state playoff game, so they are actually on one-year probation. In 1A softball, we have 39 teams, Williams number one, Bagdad number two, Joe City number three, and St. David number six. We have a lot of stuff going on right now in the world of sports, but before we conclude our show today, we got a team who is ranked number two in the nation overall, colleges and universities, Jeff.
And who would that be, Bruce?
Our Cochise College Women's Rodeo Team.
Woo!
Number two in the nation. And this is ahead of Texas A&M. This is ahead of ASU. This is ahead of the University of Arizona, University of West Alabama, Montana State University, University of Wyoming, New Mexico State University. Cochise is number two in the nation in women's rodeo. The only team they're trailing right now is Colorado Mesa University out of Grand Junction, Colorado, who's number one. So Cochise College is number two, Utah Valley is number three, and University of West Alabama is number four. So I was so stoked when I discovered when the standings were posted last week, and Lynn sent me a text. Lynn Smith, the rodeo coach at Cochise College, sent me a text telling me, you might want to check out the national rankings. I think you're going to be happy. And it was like, you think the number two rodeo team in the nation? And while that's going on, our men's team, I mean, they're not doing too badly. In the men's side, Missouri Valley College is number one. New Mexico State, number two. Central Arizona College, number three. Those are two teams in the Grand Canyon region. The University of Wyoming is number eight. And our Cochise College Apaches are ranked 18th in the nation out of 25 teams that are ranked.
That's still pretty amazing.
I'll take it, considering how young that team is and the future of this team looking bright. But what's more impressive is on the overall national side, on the men's all-around, this, again, is nationally. We'll break down regionally here in just a few minutes. But nationally, in the men's all-around, which is all the men's events combined, which is tie-down roping, steer wrestling, bronc riding, bull riding, whatever events you compete in, Cochise College Cowboy Tayton Erickson is third in the nation. And on the women's side, in the women's all-around nationally, Quincy Downey, who we spoke about last week, is ranked eighth in the nation. And Celie Bottom, who had a good rodeo at Fort Huachuca, she's currently ranked 15th in the nation. Other categories that we have Cochise athletes ranked in, Erickson, he's number one in the nation in tie-down roping right now, which means he's the fastest cowboy in calf roping in the nation currently with two rodeos to go. So his chances of making nationals are looking really good. In the breakaway roping, we have Downey, who's ranked 12th in the nation. And in the goat tie-in, we have Macy Fowley, who's ranked 9th in the nation, and Josephine Brink, who's ranked 16th in the nation. So it's always a pleasure for me when I can brag about our kids, and hopefully I don't jinx them too much by bragging and singing their praises today. But, you know, we got national leaders. We got national teams ranked in the top in the nation right now overall in our program. And then on the regional side right now for the Grand Canyon region, Jeff, the Cochise men are still sitting third. Oh, by the way, remember last week how we were talking about, I think I did mention that I had to get up at 5 a.m. to be at Cochise for that meeting with the rodeo team. Well, I made the meeting. Lynn explained it, and I'm still confused as to who gets in for Nationals. But as of March 20th, the Cochise men are still ranked third in the region, whereas the Cochise women are still ranked number one in the region. And we actually have two girls now, Quincy Downey and Celie Bottom, who are ranked first and second in the women's all-around. So it's going to come down to a two cowgirl race from Cochise College as to who's going to get the top all-around honors. I've said it before, and I'll say it again, man. We have some amazing talent down here, and this is so much fun. I enjoy about my job is being able to sing these praises and talk about these kids, you know, and their accomplishments and how they all come in from out of these places. Like Missy was talking about, you know, she said they bring these athletes in from all over the world to come to Cochise College, and they don't realize that they're 8 miles, 10 miles away from the nearest Walmart. So all they do is come to the campus. They go to school, and they focus on their sport. And because of that, they get better. So I guess there's a plus side to being in the middle of nowhere, so to speak, Jeff, you think?
Very distraction-free.
There we go. Good. That's a good word. I hadn't even thought about that. That's a good way to describe it. The announcers on TV were laughing on Tuesday, talking about the Cochise women's basketball team having all these different players from these different countries. And I want to say, just tell them, I just wanted to blurt out, just call them what Jeff and I call them, the United Nations team.
Exactly.
When they were watching the other games, Jeff, there was other players from Brazil. There was one from, I want to say Finland, if I recall right. So, I mean, there's other schools that have other athletes, but they were laughing because they were looking at Cochise's roster, and they were saying over half the players are from out of the country.
That's right.
I think it's accurate.
Yeah, it is.
You know, Troy University is going to get a heck of a player next year in Fortuna. And Misty's going to have some big holes to fill. But in the meantime, we got to ride the wave while it lasts. And hopefully it'll last another 24, 48 hours with a win today over Hutchinson, Jeff.
Well, we can't wait to find out how that goes. Will that wrap us up for today, Bruce?
It will. We've got some big games this weekend. We got the track meet at Bisbee High School this weekend. And so we're going to be there covering that. And then, of course, we have a Benson-Bisbee baseball showdown on Thursday in Benson. Just an exciting time, and the best thing is to stay tuned. We're going to stay on top of it. But in closing today, I just want to say go Cochise, and hopefully we'll have good things to report on here later on today.
Oh, that'll be fantastic. And we know, Bruce, that you will have it all covered for us in the Herald Review Media, in print, online at myheraldreview.com, and on the Herald Review Media social media channels. As always, we do encourage you that if any of these games that we talked about today are in your neck of the woods, please consider attending one of these games, because it means the world to these young student athletes to have their community support. From the Cochise Broadcasting Studios of KKYZ 101.7 FM, the oldies station in Sierra Vista, and the all-new Mix 96.9 FM, today's best mix in Sierra Vista. And on behalf of the Herald Review Media sports editor Bruce Wetton, my name is Jeff Davenport, and I'm wishing you a wonderful rest of your day. But before we send it back for the rest of today's Daily Chirp, we want to make a special announcement that the release of the Best of Preps Game of the Week podcast segment will be moving from Thursdays to Tuesdays. We're going to be recording on Mondays, so the episode will drop on Tuesdays starting next week. And we hope you'll continue to join us as we make a minor shift in when the podcast segment is produced and dropped. So look for it next Tuesday. And now we'll send it back for the rest of today's Daily Chirp.
Thanks for listening. Before we continue, a quick message from our sponsors, Ace Hardware.
Hi, this is Les from Sierra Vista Ace. This is a great time to paint. Ace stocks Clark and Kensington, Valspar, Dunn Edwards, and our own Ace Royal Paint in interior and exterior finishes. We can computer match other brands and colors too. All the colors you can imagine, even one named Sierra Vista. Decide on the wall or room to paint, bring in a color idea, and let Ace mix your paint. Treat yourself to a new brush and roller too. Save gas, save time, shop Ace first. Sierra Vista Ace since 1981 on the corner of Fry and Highway 92.
Next, an upcoming event that you should know about. This afternoon, starting at 4 p.m., head over to Gunny's Barbecue for an evening of dominoes. They promise music, food, and good company. You're encouraged to bring your own dominoes, but they will have additional sets to play with. Finally, today we're remembering the life of Ralph Thompson Jr. Ralph Thompson Jr. was born in Corpus Christi in 1948. He joined the Army in 1965 on his 17th birthday in Tucson. Upon his return from his second tour in Vietnam, where he received a Bronze Star, he served at Fort Carson, attended the Army Engineer School at Fort Belvoir, and went to Redstone Arsenal, where he attended wire-guided missile training and was sent to Germany. Back at Fort Carson, Ralph met his wife, Angelina, and they married in 1979. He held bachelor's degrees in computer science and business administration. After the Space Shuttle Challenger explosion in 1986, he joined the NASA Shuttle Redesign Team at Marshall Space Flight Center in Huntsville. He worked as a NASA contractor at Kennedy Space Center until 2005. In 2010, they decided to move to Wilcox. He loved the community and its cowboy lifestyle. Ralph is survived by his wife, two sons, granddaughter, two great-grandchildren, five sisters, and a large extended family. Thank you for taking the time today to remember and celebrate Ralph's life. Thanks for tuning in to the Herald Review podcast today. And remember, the Herald Review is here for you with local news you can trust. Subscribe today for unlimited access to all of our content for just $14 per month. This is less than the cost of 1 hour of one reporter's work on a single story. Also, want to stay up to date on what's going on? Join Neighbor, your trusted neighborhood community. Neighbor is a free online forum you can trust to connect with your community, focus on facts, and make a difference. Join the conversation. Visit nabur.myheraldreview.com.
It's a beautiful day in the neighborhood, especially in Cochise County. Become part of the hyperlocal conversation on Cochise County's exclusive social media platform, Neighbor. That's N-A-B-U-R. Your neighbors are striking up meaningful conversations, sharing exquisite Cochise County photos, and respecting each other's views without any other social media noise. No unwanted advertising and only respectful conversations on hot community topics. That's right. Our journalism project manager can set the record straight and help answer any pressing questions about the happenings in our community. Join the conversation at myheraldreview.com/N-A-B-U-R.